praise the living God.
Tonight's
the new night. Praise the Lord. Tonight's another night that God's word will be preached. I want to thank God for all he has done, what he is doing, and how God has made it so. Tonight's a night that we just say, Lord, we love you. And I will say this to those who are listening, that the God of Abraham is exciting. The God of Abraham. Because the God of Abraham has done so much for us, but the greater one is Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus doing for us, it behooves us to follow him. So right now I give you to your host, Minister Jason. Are you there?
Good evening. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. Amen. Good to hear your voice. You're on air right now.
Good to hear your voice as well. Amen. First, I just want to thank you for another wonderful day that God has given us. And I want to thank you also for having on myself with the line of folks who are going to be coming on to share what God has given them. And again, just want to thank you also for continuing to press forward with the work that God has given you to open up the airwaves. So I just want to just say thank you for that. And I also want to say to the people that may be listening this evening, to grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you as we fellowship here this evening on the word that God has given for us. I'm going to open up in 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. You have to bear with me this evening because I'm recovering from a little bit of sickness there, so just kind of bear with me. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Verses 7 through 12, I'm sorry. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. Verse 9, in this love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved,
amen.
If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the world, you know, that we live in tends to define love at times that's in contrast or contradicted to what the Word of God tells us love is. And we all are born and raised in this world, which we are temporary, a place for us to be, where we are influenced by at times by these definitions, and depending on where you are, your Christian walk, or maybe you're not saved, or whatever different case may be, that's going to kind of shape and mold your definition. Some of the different ways that the world would define their definition of love. Will be a couple of them is that you only love those who love you back. That's one of them. Another one is you reserve your love only to family and close friends. Another one we've heard before is that the greatest love of all is loving yourself.
Amen.
And the last one you hear a lot is that you see a lot of people walking in is that our perspective on God's love sometimes is God's love for us is conditional on our being and our work towards him. And so sometimes that's what we can tend to believe, that his love is conditional. If we don't do the right things, he's not going to love us. And so and on and on and on and on we can go on all day about some of the different things that we hear in the Word, some of the different things that we don't even realize that we're walking in. And that's why I would say it's so important to be reading the Word and seeing what God says about what love is and amongst everything else. Amen. In our nature, we have some ways that help us determine if someone's worth love. So there's things in us that helps, you know, guide us, even, you know, without the Word sometimes, that is guiding our decisions on how we're loving other people. So we have ability to measure that. One way that helps determine whether someone is worth loving is some, a lot of times it's based on how they treat us. Other cases is based on how they sacrificially give to us. Will they sacrifice things that so that we can have? In other cases is how they speak to us. You know, we run into people that may struggle with the ability to really communicate effectively or really feel the need to be careful about what they say to people. And so that can affect our ability sometimes to love someone that we consider to be rude, obstinate, or just plain out offensive. Some people believe that that you love them if you agree with everything they say. So the minute you step out of something that they're saying, all of a sudden, well, you don't love them anymore because you're not walking lockstep with me. And so some people tie their definition of love based on what people agree with them. We find that our love at times can be based on our sinful nature. That tends to be conditional based on how someone loves us or how someone behaves towards us. But God calls us to love as he loves because he expressed his love by giving his only begotten son over to pay for our sins, which was not based on how we behave or what we have done or how much we love God. We just read up here, in verse 10 in the opening scripture says, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So it's based on his love. And the reality is that we deserve death because of sin. But yet, he gave his life out of pure love by his blood, and we're set free from death. And so this act of him giving his only son, his son who left his bosom, in a perfect existence and came down to be like us, to suffer, to not sin, and to not be guilty of sin or anything he was accused of, yet through love, he made his way to the cross because God loves us so much. And so today we're going to explore the love of God through his word. We're going to explore the love of God through his word. And we're going to take the opening scriptures up section by section and just talk a little bit about what God has for us this evening. So in 1 John, we read in 1 John verses, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we're going to hit those. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Amen. Amen. We were created to love and be loved. And our need for love can be truly only fulfilled by God himself. Our need to be truly loved can only be fulfilled by God himself as he works in our lives and in the people's lives around us because God is love. He is made of love. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says, blessed be to God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. Let me say that one more time. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined to us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So it's God's good pleasure to send his son, that we are adopted as sons through his son, Jesus Christ. That's just how powerful God's love was. And he didn't do so grudgingly. He did it out of love. The Bible says right here, it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, is what it says. So God took pleasure in ensuring that we had a pathway of bridge to him through his son. And so God created us, again, in love, to love, and to be loved by him. Only through a personal relationship with Christ will we discover this. Only through a personal relationship, only by looking at the cross, can we know the true love of God. We must grow in our knowledge. In order for that to happen, in order for us to know how much God loves us, we must know him. We must know him. We must grow in our knowledge of God.
Amen.
Some of the ways, for me personally, I have discovered this type of love for my personal relationship is, you know, I've begun to appreciate that life, he's giving me life each day. Each day, I've been able to wake up and rejoice in the day that he has given. He didn't have to do that. Because there are some people all around us in the cities and places that we live in that are not seeing the next day. But yet, God's love and grace has woke us up another day. Another personal day for me where I've experienced this in my personal relationship with Christ is that, excuse me, I said before, I got saved at a much later age. I didn't get saved until I was about 33 years old. And so I marvel even today, and I'm just so thankful to him that he expressed his love where while that 33 years was going on, he didn't allow me to die and go to death without being in a position to receive his offer of salvation. Because there are some people who are not as fortunate. And I think one of the most important things about God's love that you experience in that relationship with him is his love covers a multitude of our sins because of the atoning power and the death and resurrection of his son. His love covers a multitude of our sins. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Wow, we were still sinners. Christ died for us and died for us. And this is important because in order to truly understand the love of God, you must know him through his word. You must see what he did on the cross. You know, I not only myself, you know, I struggled with that for my first few years of salvation. And people I encounter is, you know, a lot of times the reason why people struggle with how much God loves them or they get beat down with condemnation, stuff like this, is because they're not looking at the cross. They don't really know who Jesus is and what he did there. Not just reading scripture and knowing that he went to the cross, but through that relationship, God revealing to you just how much he loves you. It only comes in a relationship. You know, God intends for his love to be transformative, for his love to have a transformative power to flow, this is how much he loves, to flow to even the most despicable people. That's how powerful God's love is. His word says he is kind to the wicked, is what he says. Psalm chapter 86, verse 15 says, but you, O Lord, are God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Abundant in mercy and truth. God's love is transformative. And God, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish, and he does not take pleasure in one who dies in a very wicked way and don't turn to him. God takes no pleasure in death like that. So he wants us all to be saved and come to know him. And his love and his will has a plan to carry that out. But like I said, as men, we have a choice we have to make at times of whether or not we're going to accept that love in our life, accept salvation or not. And he leaves that decision to us. Going further down, in the, going back to the opening scripture in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 9 through 10. We're going to look at verses 9 through 10. Verse 9 says, "In this love of God was manifested towards us that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You know, what I, again, I mentioned this earlier, what I find remarkable about this section of scripture is the definition of love is not our love towards God. Let me say that one more time. The definition of love is not our love towards God, but his love towards us. That is the true definition of love. That's the true definition of love. You know, all people, you know, all of us, you know, we're, because of what happened in the garden and the fall of the man, Adam and Eve, we're all corrupted by sin, which separates us from God. As we know, God sent Jesus, his Son, to pay the price by dying for us on the cross for our sins. And again, his atoning, the blood that he sacrificed atoned for our sins, which means that all we have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. When we accept his gift of salvation, we're at one with God. And when you are truly reborn in Christ, we should sense his love and power at work in our lives. When we are truly reborn in Christ, we should sense his power and love in our lives.
Amen.
For me, some of the things I sense his power and love working is, you know, through the things that he gives me to do to serve in the kingdom. That's one way I sense it. Very much so I sense it in doing my quiet time. When I'm in prayer and the word and I'm in my, as they say, closet, all by myself, away from the kids and wife, and I'm just sitting down with the word open and praying and just fellowship with God, I sense his love and power working all around me. And another place I see, I have four children, I sense his love and power when I'm developing my children, when he's instructing me and my wife on how to raise up his children that we've been given stewardship over. And so those are some of the ways that I sense his love and power working around me. And you have to sense, you have to know it, because, you know, between the world and our adversary who is constantly trying to pull us down and beat us down and whatnot, that's why we have to stay in a relationship, because when we're not in a relationship, then what that means is we're spending a lot of time in a situation where we're being fed things that are not of the word. And then we start walking in that. But it's important to stay in a relationship because God's constantly feeding us what he says about us and through his word. The last section of the opening scripture is verses 11 through 12, 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And verse 11 says, "Love, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." Looking at the cross and knowing his love should shape the way we live. As our love grows, our lives should begin to align more with his word, which is his will for our life. But let me say that one more time. Looking at the cross and knowing his love by knowing Christ should shape the way we live. As our love for God grows, our lives should begin to align it with the world. I mean, align it with his word. You know, we live in a society today where there are a lot of people standing up and saying, "I'm a Christian by name," but there are no fruits to follow. We have a lot of people standing up saying, I serve Jesus," but you never know it. You never know it by what's going on in their life. You know, by the fact that they seem to have no desire to do anything that's in the Bible. They have no desire to want to do, to align their life with whom they are claiming to serve. I told one person one time that, you know, that is claimed to be a Christian, And as we went through a dialogue, I asked him a question. I said, and I heard this question before somewhere else, but I asked him the question. I said, you know, I put it this way. I said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be? You know, when we get saved, our life should change. We should turn. We shouldn't look like the things we used to do. We shouldn't look like the world. I mean, if people can't tell the difference between you and the world, then why would they want to be saved at all? And so, again, if we're truly saved, in this relationship with God, his love and his relationship should be shaping the way we live. And as our love for God grows, our lives should begin to align with his word. See, we have a situation going on now in today's society where people are bowing down to the god of political correctness is what we're doing in this country, bowing down to the god of political correctness. And, you know, and this is the trend. And one thing you understand when you read your word is that the Bible says God is unchanged. His word is unchanged, and God does not change with the trends and the political issues and things going on in human society. You know, as when we become Christians, we don't take the scriptures and try to somehow make them, bend them a little bit to make them align with our lifestyle. No, we align our lifestyle to his word. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit, how we do that. So, you know, but that's done through love. That is done through love. We have to know him to be able to walk and align our lives with him. If we don't know him, then we're not going to be able to follow him. So if it's done through love by knowing him, how is this love accomplished? How is this love accomplished? By seeking him with all that we are. That's how it's accomplished. That is how it's accomplished. We have to seek him with all that we are. We have to grow in it. It's not perfect when we start, but we have to start seeking him, and little by little, excuse me, little by little, giving him all that we are. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, and this is Jesus talking, he says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You see, sometimes we start struggling with, well, you know, if I give God this and I can still keep this, those type of things, and or we struggle with, well, how much does God want of me? Well, the answer is everything. Everything. And why shouldn't he? He paid the price to have us. He created us. And if we accept the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, if we accept the fact that God created the heavens and the earth, that he's all powerful and control, then what we also begin to accept through love is that we are accountable to him by how we live our lives. And so in order to love, to follow him, which is done through love, we have to begin to seek him more and more with everything that we have. And as we're giving more of our heart to him, or more of our soul and strength, excuse me, more of our mind to him, then what begins to happen is that love in us grows. And through love, because through love we know him, we'll follow him, and we'll give those things up, we'll sacrifice those things because we love him. When we are complacent and passive in our relationship with God, we will always struggle in obeying God's word. We will always struggle. When we are complacent and passive in our relationship with God, we will always struggle with obeying God's word. And why is that? Well, one of the reasons is obeying God's word does not come through obligation and fear of God. Let me say that one more time. Obeying God's word doesn't come through an obligation and fear of God. It comes through knowing him. Through seeking him with all we have, we will know him each day and fall in love with him. And through falling in love with him, this is where we have victory in obeying his word. You know, Jesus says, he tells us how we follow. He says in John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let me say one thing. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say if you fear me or if you feel obligated to me by guilt of sin. He said, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we just talked about that earlier. We have to grow in the love. We have to get more of his love. And as we get more of his love that he gives to us, it is there we begin to have victory. And through love, we put aside things in the world. It's through love, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. It's through love. Because without love, everything in the Bible is just to be a bunch of laws and restrictions and bondage to you. That's all it'll be. It's just some restrictions. Somehow God is messing with my phone. But see, when it's through love, when we're looking at the cross, then it's not all of these things. We obey him in love, and we set our life, the things we have planned for us aside, and we accept his plan for our life. And how will being loved shape the way we live? And we talked a little bit about this. Number one, it helps us commit to him because we have put our trust in him. This is what love does. It helps us to commit to him because through love, we put our trust in him. It gives us joy to know that we are in the hands of an all-powerful God. Because the more you get to know him, the more you get to love him, and you start to love because you start to recognize who he is and what he did and how God is all-powerful. And what a wonderful hands to be in. He grows our desire to submit to him and obey his word through love. And it grows our desire to love others as ourselves. So, again, like I said before, through love, through knowing him, spending time in the word, spending time in prayer, spending time in that relationship with God, that love grows, then we'll find that we have more victory in obeying his commandments if we love him, than his commandment. If we don't know him, we can't love him. You can't love someone you don't know. And so you obey his commands. God's love empowers us to love. It empowers us to love him more than ourselves. And so that's just something we need to remember. So as we close, just a couple final things to just want to recap this lesson. Number one, we need to, as we go forward, we start to pray about these things and ask God, show me through your word, to have more knowledge of you. So show me, grow me in this love. And I get to know you. We need to embrace God's love. You know, we just trying to get out and serve, you know, because a lot of times that's the first condition. You get saved or you get born and you rededicate yourself to the Lord. How do you come back? And you just want to get out and serve God. But you don't have love in you. You don't have enough love. You don't have enough knowledge of who he is. And so what happens is, as they go along the way, they start to flame out too soon. They start to flame out too soon. You know, I'm always reminded of Martha and Mary when Jesus' disciples came to the house, and the Bible says Martha got up and started serving right away. But Mary sat at his feet. And when Martha got upset and asked Jesus, he said, look, why don't you tell my sister to help me? And he said, Martha, Martha, well, Mary has chosen his best. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in trying to serve, we forget to just sit at his feet and get to know him. Because if we get to know him, we sit in a relationship with him, then we're better able to serve and be his representative. See, the whole point of us being in a relationship is so that we can be salt and light, so we can be his ambassador. But how can we be effective ambassadors of Christ if we don't even know the ideals and the principles of the person that's in us? How is that possible? You know what happens? We get out there, and what we realize, we just end up serving ourselves and representing ourselves, and it shows. And so we need to embrace God's love. We need to embrace his love and pray specifically for his understanding and believing and receiving his love. Number two, we need to reflect on God's love. We need to make a daily effort, make an effort to express his love.
To God be the glory.
Meditate on that. Reflect on his love. And one of the last things that's very important is we need to seek reconciliation. We need to let God's power and love be a catalyst to request or offer forgiveness as a step toward reconciliation. So there may be people in our life that we need to make things right with. And remember, as we start to read the word, you start to recall that you making things right with someone maybe you've offended or you need to forgive them, has absolutely, at the end of the day, nothing to do with them. It has something to do with you and your relationship with God. Jesus says in his word, he says that if you come to bring a gift to the altar but know that you have something against your brother, go put your gift down and go make it right with your brother and come back. And you know why? Because God's emphasis on his love and relationship is not just our relationship with him, but God has it's very important to God how we relate with each other. Jesus tells his disciples that those around the world will know. Also very important for God. So in closing, the only way to know the love of God is to seek him with all our heart, to look upon the cross with all we have. In order for our love to grow in him, we must turn away from loving ourselves and embrace his love by pursuing his love. And when we pursue his love with everything we have, then we will be filled and complete with the love we need to not only be his ambassadors, but to begin to appreciate and embrace and love him more than we love him because we know what he has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know one thing, Brother Jason, you have done a great job, but I know we've had some difficulty with our phone line, but I want everybody to just take a few minutes and welcome Brother Jason back, and I'll open the lines up so they can speak to you. Be peace. Hold on. I'm open. Anybody got to say, since we was down a whole week and we overcame the enemy, anybody want to continue to encourage our brother Jason that he might continue in the Lord? Amen. The line's open. Now we move to the next program.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Jason. And thank God for the word on tonight because that is the key thing. Love covers a multitude. And that's what the world needs today is the love, the compassion, the mercy, and the grace of God. In order to do what God has called each and every one of us to do, we have to take on those attributes and characteristics of God. God bless the Lord for the word. Amen.
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 Is there anybody else? Anybody else? If not, Dr. Newsom.
Hey, Pastor Hama, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm blessed. I got Brother Dwayne from Bible View Church. He's listening in on the broadcast, and I pray that he calls in on his own. I'm going to give him the number, and he's won the battle with some addictive nature, and he's redeemed of the Lord. God has blessed him with a son, a wife, and he was just encouraged by the word on today.
Amen. Well, I want y'all to encourage Brother Jason. Say something to him that what God can do for him, through him, and by him.
Yeah, I pray that the Lord will continue to give you his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that you will continue to grow in his power and his authority in the earth. I thank the Lord for that word on today. I'm driving in my car, so I'm not 100%, you know, focused, but I'm driving and talking at the same time. So forgive me for saying anything that I probably shouldn't say, like wrong words, but I'm driving and listening at the same time, which I know we're not supposed to do, but I had to call in on the broadcast to service my brother that's in the car with me, that it's going to be okay. But you be encouraged, my brother, and I pray God strengthen your life. I pray that you continue to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and that you continue to sharpen yourself with people like Pastor Hunter, because iron sharpens iron.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else? Amen. Is Dr. Newsom out there listening? Dr. Newsom?
Yes, sir. How's it going, Dr. Hunter?
All right. Let me see. You're the last. You got a word because you're next. Go ahead. We've heard words. It's time now. We want to hear what the Lord has got in your heart, because the enemy came and tried to say, you can't have it. Well, look what we, here we are again. Here we are again.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So what you're doing is, hey, that's it. He's number one. He's number one.
Amen. Well, it's your turn. You got a word to for the Lord for us tonight. Let's hear it. Amen. Are you there?
Heart be open and receptive and encouraged through your word in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm reading, Dr. Hunter, I'm coming out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And the word says, now the just, now, that means right now, present tense. Now the just, those who are born again, those who have confessed Yeshua as Lord with their mouth and believe in their heart that God has raised them from the dead, they are the just. They are the just. Now the just, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, that's who Yahweh is talking to right here. He says, now the just shall live by faith, shall live, shall have a lifestyle, shall thrive, shall be vibrant. That's what it means in the Greek, shall thrive, shall be vibrant, shall live, the just shall live and prosper and thrive, the just shall live by faith. That's how God expects for us to thrive in life, to prosper, to be productive in life. That's how, here lies our peace, is through faith. Here lies your deliverance, is through faith. Here lies your promotion, is through faith. Here lies your salvation, and your prosperity lies through faith. Now the just shall live by faith. We are expected as children of God to live a lifestyle of walking by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Good God Almighty. That's pretty heavy right there. God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in the person or persons that draw back from walking by faith. God, Yahweh, expects the just. He expects us to live by faith, to thrive, to grow, to be vibrant, to have a lifestyle of faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Don't turn back. Don't turn back from walking by faith. God says right here in his word, he says, but if any man, now if any man draw what? Back. That means turn back from walking by faith. He don't want us walking by our senses, what we taste, smell, see, hear, or feel. No, he don't want us governing our lives, he don't want us trying to get direction in life through our feelings. He wants us to live and to operate by faith. And so the message God has given me for everyone tonight is push, P-U-S-H, push, faith is the main thing. Push. Faith is the main thing. Now, I hear a gospel out right now that's leading a lot of people astray, and they're calling it the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace. Well, you can't even access grace unless you do it through faith. So how is there going to be the gospel of grace? There's no gospel of grace. There's the gospel of faith. The scripture says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The scripture says, for we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. We can only walk and access grace through faith. Through faith. For we are saved by grace through faith. In order to get to grace, we got to go through faith. In order to get to grace, we got to go through faith. That's just like if we get on Highway 290, Dr. Hunter, Apostle Hunter, if we get on Highway 290 and we travel 290 all the way to Austin, we're going to Austin. Our destination is Austin. Mm-hmm. And we are determined we're going to travel 290. Well, in order to get to Austin, we must go through a town called Giddings, Texas. You're not going to get to Austin traveling 290 unless you go through Giddings, Texas. It's just like if you're going to travel I-45 and you say, I'm going to travel I-45 all the way to Dallas, Texas. Well, if you are going to travel I-45 all the way to Dallas, Texas, you must go through Conroe, Texas. Isn't that right, Apostle Honor?
That's right.
To get to your destination traveling I-45 to Dallas, you must go through Conroe, Texas. Well, see, that's how it is. With grace, in order to access grace, you've got to access grace. How? Through faith.
Through faith.
So we got to push. We got to push. Faith is the main thing. I tell you, the Bible doesn't even say it is impossible to please God without anything else. He said it's not impossible to please God. He said it's impossible to please God without what? Faith.
Faith.
Hebrews chapter what? 11, verse 6. He said it is impossible to please Yahweh, the only true living God. He said it is impossible to please me without what? Faith.
Faith.
Those who come to him must believe he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. It's impossible to please the only true living God. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Impossible. What does impossible mean? Impossible means there is no what? No way. There's not a possibility that you can please God unless you do it how? By faith. So faith is the main thing. And we got to push to stay in faith. That's if you want to please God. And that should be all of our main goal as Christian, as children of God. Our main goal, and we should be striving to please him. Well, Dr. Hunter, how does the Bible say we please God? I've only found in the Bible one way that we can please him. What's the way, Apostle Hunter? What's the way that we can please God?
By faith.
By faith. That's the only way.
Faith.
The
by
Bible
faith.
Said it's impossible to please him any other way. It's impossible, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. There's no other way that we can please Yahweh. The only way you and I can please Yahweh is through faith. Check this out. We were saved through faith. That's the only way you can get saved is through faith. Ephesians says, for we are saved by grace, what? Through faith. And that's not of ourselves, for it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is so important that we please God through faith. We're saved through faith. I mean, that's how we got our eternal life. That's how we got all our sins forgiven. That's how we're going to spend eternity with Yahweh. It's through faith. Through faith. For we're saved by grace. Thank God for his grace and his love. Because God is love. But the only way that we can access that is how? Through faith. You're saved through faith. You please God
Amen.
Through faith. All the promises of Yahweh are received through faith and patience. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, don't be lazy, but be imitators of them who through what? Faith and patience obtain the promises of God. We obtain all the promises of God. If you don't get anything out of the kingdom of heaven, out of the kingdom of God, it got to be through faith. The quality of our life is determined by faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 29. Yeshua says, let it be according to your what? faith. Let it be according to your faith. You and I determine the quality of our lives. You and I. So you determine the quality of your life. Prophets and there in Georgia, you determine the quality of your life. Nobody else. Yeshua said, let it be according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your what? Faith.
Faith.
Yeah, be it unto you according to your faith. So the quality of your life and my life is determined by our faith. We got to push because faith is the main thing. We overcome all the trouble in this world. If you are going through some trouble, I tell you, the Bible says that you're only going to overcome it through faith. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the scripture says, whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, the trouble in this world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your what? Faith. You see, we overcome every attack of the devil by using our faith. All the trouble that comes against us in this life, we're going to have to overcome the trouble through our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus, Yeshua, looked for our faith. That's what he looked for. When he looked at our lives and begins to examine our lives, he looks to see if we're walking by faith. And that's in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw, good God Almighty, when Jesus saw what? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick with the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, Yeshua looked for our what?
Faith.
He looked to see if you and I are walking in faith. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that Yahweh has dealt to every man the measure of what?
Faith.
So we got to walk in love. If you're going to live walking a love, agape love, the only way that you can, man, I tell you, this brother murdered my mother when she was 34 years old. I was 16 years old, young man, young Christian. It'd be hard for me to forgive that man and love that man in the flesh, but I can only do it how? By faith. The agape love is that unconditional love. And the only way that we can love is how? By faith. We can't do it in the natural. We can do it. We can do that old fleshly type of love and stuff like that, you know what, and lusting and all that in the flesh. But when it comes to the agape kind of, the Yahweh God kind of love, you can only do it by faith. And so I tell you, we got to push to stay in faith and not get bamboozled, run amok. Let's not get misled by anyone or any false doctrine out there. We got to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. There's a gospel out there called the gospel of grace. I tell you, that's bamboozling a lot of people. It's leading a lot of people astray. They're getting a lot of people off track because of the people who are teaching that message of grace. Sure, grace is in the Bible. Grace is in the Bible. Oh, yeah, but don't try to make it seem more important than faith. It can't even be accessed. It can't be accessed unless you use your faith. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 2. For we're saved by grace. Grace is important. But it's through faith that we access it.
Amen.
Try to draw some money out of the ATM machine. Sure, it's your money and the money's there. And sure, you got the debit card or the credit card and everything. It's your money and it's available to you. But if you go up to that machine and you stick your credit card in there, but you don't punch in the right access code, you're not going to get any money out of it. Am I right about that, Dr. Andre?
You got to put the right
access code in there. Yeah, it's your money. Yeah, it's your credit card. Yeah, you got the right credit card. Your name is on it and everything. But unless you punch in the right access code, you're not getting any money out of that ATM machine. And see, faith is our access code to please God. Faith is our access code to get saved. Faith is our access code to overcome this trouble in this world. Faith is our access code to better the quality of our life. Faith is the main thing. So we ought to push to stay in faith. The enemy comes at anybody that tries to operate and walk by faith. Boy, I tell you, the faith message is one of the messages that is fought against hard by Satan, because faith pleases God. And Satan don't want us, what? Pleasing God. Satan is an enemy of God. He hates God. But see, his reach is not long enough to box with God, so he boxes with God's children. He tries to get us not to operate in faith, so we won't please God. Because, you know, Satan knows the word, too. Satan knows the Bible. Satan knows Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Satan knows that it's impossible to please God without faith. So what does Satan come to do? He comes to entice you and I to try to get us out of faith over into fear and doubt and unbelief. We've got to push. Faith is the main thing. We've got to push, because faith is the main thing. Look at Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 5. We please God with our faith. We get saved through faith. The quality of our life is determined by faith. We overcome the troubles in this world by faith. Yeshua looked at us to operate in faith. I mean, it's faith. Faith came on the scene in the book of Genesis when God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. You know, over in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Yeshua said, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed. And if you believe and not doubt in your heart, it will be what? Moved and cast into the sea. Faith. Let there be. God came on the scene in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, in the book of the law, the Pentateuch, in Genesis, the first five books of Moses. Mm-hmm. When God, Yahweh, the only true living God, came on the scene, he came on the scene operating how? By faith. Calling those things to be not as though they what? Were. By faith, God Almighty came on the scene operating by faith. He's our example. We've got to push. Faith is the main thing. Look at Mark chapter 5. Beginning with verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, she was sick and bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She tried everything. She gave her all. She spent all of her money, and she went to the doctors and only grew worse. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Yeshua, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, look at that, for she what? For she said, faith is confession. Faith is confession. I said faith is confessing. Faith is speaking. You got to speak those things that you want to take place in your life. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't say I'll be healed. She said I'll be made what? Whole. All the money she had spent and lost, she was going to be made what? Whole. Get all her money back. Any friends that dropped out on her, God was going to give her new friends. New friends, you know. She's going to be made what? Whole. To be made whole means nothing missing, nothing what? Broken. To be made whole means to be made what? Complete. So Yeshua not only healed her body, but the Bible says that she was made what? Whole. She was made whole. She said, if I could reach Yeshua and touch his clothes, I know that I shall be made whole. And in verse 29, the Bible says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Yeshua immediately knowing in himself that power, virtue, strength had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Yes. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Look at here. Here it is now. Here it is. Verse 34.
Here it is.
Push. You got to push. This woman pushed. Look what it says in verse 34. And he said, Yeshua said to her, daughter, good God of mine. He said, daughter, thy what? Faith.
Here
it is. Thy faith, daughter. Thy faith have made thee what? Whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Her faith made her what? Whole. If you want to be whole in life, if you want to be prosperous in life, you're going to have to use your faith. If you're going to please God in life, you're going to have to use your faith. If you're going to go anywhere in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to use your faith. And you got to do just like this woman with the issue of blood. You got to push knowing that faith is the main thing. Sister,
hallelujah.
Brother, those who are listening all around the world, I'm here to tell you, God sent me to tell you that your faith, good God Almighty, Apostle, your faith will make you whole. I'll tell you, faith is the main thing. You can't do anything in the kingdom of God without faith. Nothing.
Amen.
You can't love without faith. How in the world are you going to agape love without faith? Man, it's hard trying to love everybody, but you can do it with what? Faith.
Faith
is the main thing. To operate in this kingdom, to please God, you've got to use your faith. If you want to be made whole, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be delivered, if you want to have peace of mind, Yeshua, he said, go in peace. Peace means you have a prosperity and an undisturbed mind. Good God Almighty. He said, daughter, go in peace and be whole. You don't have to go away with a disturbed mind. He took care of everything for this lady because of her what? Faith.
Faith.
But we got to push. We got to push just like she did. We got to push. We got to push through all the false doctrines. There's a lot of false doctrines out here leading people off the path that God wants us on. We got to stay focused. We got to stay in faith and remember that, hey, man, the only way I'm going to please God is by using my faith. Man, I got to speak the word. I got to believe the word. I got to act on the word of God. I got to walk by what? Faith. And not by sight.
My
word,
God, my
apostle.
Amen.
Faith is the main thing.
Amen. I want to thank the Lord for you, and you came back with a relevant word. And one of the things I say, P-U-S-H, push, P-U-S-H, push, P-U-S-H, push, push. We got to push our way in to get faith. Yes, we got to push. And I want to thank God for you, Apostle Newsom, for the work that you have done and what have, and I will say this, I'm going to open a line up. I'm going to spend some time on the line with some people who want to call, and you got time you can spend with us about 30 extra minutes to talk with people.
I'm with you, Apostle, ride or die. I'm with you.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say in the beginning, because God has been so good. And I say this to those of you who are listening, and I'm saying it out of the joy of my heart, because it took only the act of faith that I had to push in, to push out for this radio station. Everybody told me what was going to happen, it happened. Some people say you're crazy, but it happened. I'm not trying to put them down. I said, come on, get with me. But I have found one thing, that there's a mixture of false doctrine that's been advocated out there. And when you go on and preach and talk about Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, If you don't have faith, you can't please God. The devil knows that. But I'm saying to you tonight, you're right, I'm saying tonight to those, because I've seen God act many times in my life. So in the month of August, I'm going to ask some people to come go with me before the Holy Father, through Jesus, through the Shia HaMashiach. We want to raise up the dead. My goodness.
Hallelujah.
That's kind of said in that business. We're going to raise up the dead.
Glory to God.
Dead folks in Texas. There are dead folks in Louisiana. There are dead folks in Mississippi. There are dead folks in Chicago. There are dead folks in Wisconsin. There are folks dead, oldest United States of America. They're dead with the deafness of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they've been told not the truth. Jesus said, if you love me, he said, if you love me, will you love me?
Yes.
He said, you will obey me. And God is calling us. I'm looking for the. I told somebody, let me slow down. I'm getting excited.
Glory.
see what
Glory
God
to
is
God.
Doing. God is raising up some more people for us, apostle. We are apostle. We are now. We're not tomorrow. We're now. We are now.
Right.
We're putting our LP. Hey, come go this way. That's what Jesus said. Right over there. Go right there. You see him. How you going to see him? By having faith.
That's
hallelujah.
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 And see, hallelujah. See, I'm saying because in the month of August, I want everybody, I'm going to send out an email. I'm going to do it on the radio. I'm going to go and put in much quality time because I want to see the hand of God like never seen it before. If you're afraid, you're on the wrong ship.
Hallelujah.
I'm on the ship of faith. Where are you? As it said in Luke, this is the last ship. And we walk by faith and not by sight. But I'm open the lines to let people have some conversation with you because you've been out and I'm open the lines up. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lines open. Pastor Newsom, anybody got something they want to ask Pastor Newsom? Want to talk with it? Praise the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless
you. Well, the one thing. Go ahead.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, Brother.
That was an awesome word, Apostle. But I do have two questions.
Yeah.
That I want to ask.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think it's so hard for people to activate their faith? And also, how do we get people to activate their faith? We know we all been built a measure of faith. But how do we get people to increase their faith?
Well, the only way the Bible says that we can increase our faith, the Bible says over in Romans, now faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Rhema word of God, not the Logos. It's the Rhema word of God. That's what God is saying now. He can talk to you through someone and hit your spirit. I heard from God. That's what builds your faith, the Rhema word of God. When you hear from him through the voice of your pastor or through anything or through in your spirit, through the Holy Spirit, but you got to hear the Rhema word of God, the spoken word of God, what he's saying right now. That's the only way for us to build our faith. Now, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Rhema word of God. We have to hear from God to get our faith built, and we got to know I'm hearing from God. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. So we know when he's talking to us, and when we hear him talking to us, that builds our faith, Prophet.
Amen. But I'm talking about for other people. Now, we know the voice of God. How do we get people to understand, like you said, my sheep know my voice and no other will they follow?
Right.
How do we get people to determine which voice are they hearing and which voice are they following? See, that's where I think a lot of people, that's why the relationship of faith does not grow because they're not listening to the right voice. So
we're trying
to be effective.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Now, okay, how are they going to get to learn his voice? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, it's just like our children. You got children. Man, I can hear my child yell or something two blocks away. No one else might know who child that is, but I know my child's voice. How?
Yeah.
Because I spend time with my child. I spend time in building a relationship.
That's it.
So we've got to build a relationship. That's why he tells us over in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Observe to do all that is written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So we got to build a fellowship with God. We got to build a relationship. You know what? Relationships are built. Yeah,
amen.
A relationship,
amen.
You know, and it takes time and effort in building a good relationship. Am I right about that?
Amen, yes,
right.
Amen. Amen. You know, the Word of God says that he's the master builder, but he calls us also to be builders. And
oh, yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, as a leader, that's what we want to do. We want to establish a relationship with the people. So we can be effective. It's so many times that we preach at folks and not teach the folks. And that's what you did on tonight. You taught on tonight. Amen. And when you teach, that's when people can receive. It's so many people that turn a deaf ear to the Word of God because people are always preaching at them versus teaching them, and that's how we become effective, and that's how we become doers of the Word of God, is by teaching, and then they can receive, and then they can grow. That's when their faith begins to grow, and you start winning them off, just like you talked about us knowing our children. You know, we feed our children when they are first born, but it comes to a point of time, we put them in that high chair and we put the food in front of them and we let them begin to learn how to feed themselves. So
amen.
I thank God for the teaching of the Word tonight, and I pray that every ear that was listening, that they will receive something about the measure of faith, because now it's time to increase the faith, because you talked about it. If you speak to that mountain, it shall be cast into the sea.
That's right.
And a lot of people think they got to climb the mountain, but that's not what the Word of God says. It says,
"Come on,
speak.
Man, that's right.
Speak.
That's right.
Speak." And that's how we're missing a whole lot of things, because we try to do, but actually, all you got to do is speak to it. God bless
That's
the Lord
right.
for tonight. Amen.
Oh, glory to Yahweh. God bless.
Amen. The line's open. Have a good discussion. Anybody else? Anybody else? You got a question, a statement? I know God has moved you because what you heard tonight. Go ahead.
Well, Pastor Hunter, I'm listening as I'm driving home and gave a young man a ride, and the young man is battling drug addiction. And, you know, I thank the Lord he was able to hear it while he rode in my car to keep him encouraged. But it's something about the scholarly Word of God. When we study, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, that we study to show ourselves approved. He said a rhema word. I heard him say another word outside of the rhema Word of God, the spoken Word of God. You know, you could tell the scholarly, the knowledge, you know, the word going forth from people that have studied to show themselves approved, not unto man, but unto God, rightly dividing the word for that unbeliever, that person, Pastor Hunter, that don't have no hope no more, that you stop and you minister to them, and you would give them hope, you know, not in a perfect way, but in a loving, godly way, to restore their faith in God. You know, people get discouraged. Pastor Hunter, this girl was sitting in church every Sunday, But nobody in a Baptist church, no offense, but knew she was depressed. And the enemy came in, and now everything is tumbled down in her life. Yes, she loved God, but did she lose her faith? Did nobody speak the rhema word to her, into her life, into her hearing? Where did the enemy come in at? But I thank God for the word. I'm encouraged that I may encourage somebody else.
Amen. Anybody else got a word they want to speak? The line is open. Anybody out there got a word to say? Got a word to say? Let me call a friend of mine. Does it still up? Beverly, are you there? Beverly, are you there? Beverly? Well, you know, to God be the glory. And one of the things I will say that God has blessed us tonight, Apostle. God has
glory
blessed
God.
Us. And I want to take the time out and say to the people that want to, see, sometimes when you don't speak up and don't ask, you don't never know. I always learned this when I was growing up. If you want something, if the teacher says you want to cook it, raise your hand whether there's a cookie out there for you or not. But at least let the teacher know you interested. And that's how she got us to learn. She said, when I say you want a cookie and you see me with me, it may be for one cookie, but the first thing I saw was the one with that cookie. It's not with God, but I use that to say to them out there, beloved out there, I know behind the scenes and some on the line, a lot of people got questions. But the closer we get to the walk with God, the closer we ought to say, and I say this to everybody, I know that I know that I know that I know. I have seen the other side. But I was not permitted to cross over. God left me here to do what he needs me to do, that I missed out.
That's right.
So I'm just going to say, as the apostle said, I got 120 years to live.
Yeah,
and I'm
going
to do the
right.
best to live it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to live it.
That's it. Genesis 6:3.
Because I'm believing. The more I see what God say, enter into the straight gate. Enter into the straight gate. Because there's so much that needs to be done. We're looking at America, and I'll say it as an apostle, to stir them up. A lot of preachers are not preaching the pure word of God.
No,
And you start telling them, I've had a lot of preacher friends out there. I've asked them a question. I said, do y'all believe in laying on? No, we don't. We ain't into that yet, man. When you going to get into it? I asked them, so you into a praying into? No, we ain't into that. But I said, well, what are y'all into? I just told a lot of the preacher ones, I said, I'm going to tell you what y'all into. Y'all into what y'all think is going to keep your pockets filled. Long as you keep a good-looking one beside your wife and say you're the top dog of the whole heap, you all, I don't care what you think about me because I know what I got. I know what God is doing for me.
Amen.
Don't be like Apostle Paul. I owe no man nothing but love.
Amen.
I don't owe a man nothing. Nothing but love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to. You don't want me to come around you. I still love you. If you need to call me, I'll come to you. Because I know what Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
And I can smile and tell the world right now. Because God said unto them, in which place of you in it in? When you see everywhere we go sometime, we got a revival and need to start every day in our life. And
amen.
I'm getting ready to send out about 5,000 emails for people and say, we're getting ready to do a revival. I know what God's going to do. I've seen what God can do.
Amen.
It's up to us. It's up to us. And I say us, you as us who involve with faith, us who talk about faith. See, I say this. I tell some people, you can get big as a preacher, you get a big-headed, whatever, whatever. You ain't got nothing because you're missing the mark. You're missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, with all he had, Paul said, all that I have, I counted as dung.
Mm-hmm.
As we as apostles, we know we got to fight the fight. As apostles, we know we got to tell the people.
Right, nothing just
right to say. As apostles, we know we got to say what God says. And we know,
right.
we know what we have been through because of God. Amen. Not only apostle, but because of the prophetess. Some, your phone out
Amen.
There. You want to call in or whatever it is? You got a word? You got to say to us? Say something to us. Hello. Love has found me more than thee. Hallelujah. See, one thing I've come to understand about what God is doing. God said, if you come to me, I will in no wise turn you away.
That's what he said.
Wow.
Wait, Holy Lord,
you mean that you said if I come to you, you would in no wise, you won't turn me away? But
that's
all
right.
My sin, no, I won't turn you away. But I got something you need to bathe in. You need to get saturated in. You need to get the blood. You need to be washed. You need to confess my son. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. And then I can show you what I got for you. And see, as I was reading Colossians, I was reading the word in the first chapter, and I read what Paul said. He said, since I've heard of the faith of one out there in the radio land, I pray for you day and night. Wow.
Wow.
He goes on to express, he said, the reason why I'm praying for you, because I've heard that your faith endures. Faith endures. He said that God might give you the understanding of his word, not what man's understanding. Listen to what he says. With understanding of the word of God through Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God through Jesus Christ, and above all, the knowledge. When you have the knowledge, you know the word of God more than you can ever believe. And I'm saying to those of you, some people have gotten English because they say I'm educated. Education has nothing to do with this. I love God. I love him. Everyone on the radio said, I love you. I love you. Why
Amen.
I love you? Because what God is doing. I know what God's doing. And you know what? I'm not going to deal around with too many rats because rats going to eat all the cheese. See, if you got somebody that's helping you put the cheese up to here, ain't nobody going to have time either because you're stepping on the rats. And I'm saying with love and kindness, I don't care what you said, what you've done, and I always say to people, if God don't go have a church, call an apostle. Call him. He'll say, take where his church is, and you come there. If you don't live here, if you're somewhere else, because what we need, we got too many pimps out there. And not call them pastors. Too many pimps. They just pop.
Yeah.
They ain't got no love. And not this. This is not this is the night. Because God, I said this to one Lord. He said, they need to know. They need to know. See,
Amen.
He chose this to me. Another man of God. I ain't talking about a pimp. I'm talking about a man of God.
Yeah.
Somebody of God, I must pray for you, apostle. You pray for me. I must pray for these 10 people on the radio station behind the scene because I know God has an investment in you. But there are some preachers, teachers, evangelists are not worth a nickel and a dime until they come to Jesus. I will never lie to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the truth.
Okay.
We can't help you. I move on. So not right now.
Okay.
Because I'm praying about it. I'm praying
Amen.
About it. I'm praying. And why am I praying so? Because I've asked God to strengthen me, to make me whole.
Yes.
And I'm asking somebody the same thing. Because you're going to have to say to your friends, inasmuch as I'd love to go to the football game with my friends, I can't go no more. Oh, man. You mean I missed that basketball game?
No.
I heard the voice of Yeshua call me. Come.
Mm-hmm.
Come. See, that word is appears in the Bible 1,800 times. Come. And when Jesus said, come, that means drop everything, come follow him.
Yeah.
If you want to follow him, you're going to have to give up something. You ain't got to love the pastor. You got to hear what God's saying through the pastor. If the pastor is a pimp, you pray for him. God, get him down. Get him out. We need a man of God here. And you know what? God will do it.
Yes.
We need an apostle. If he's not obeying, we got to pray him out. See, because in the book of Galatians, we're told about it. He says, we need to make for sure that we're what? Because there are many prophets have gone astray with false information.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Gotta watch yourself.
And you begin to see that's like that young man that the prophetess Rosa is talking about. That young man needs to know the love we have for him, to cover him with nothing but love, a multitude of love, and say, hey, brother, all I want you to do is pass it on.
Yeah.
Two young men came to my house today, and I brought them out a big-time drug. And they said, well, we want to thank you. We just come to say thank you. Now, that helps me. They're not in prison because I've shown them. That helps me.
Amen.
To say God is still available. See, if you're afraid to negotiate with, I ain't going to negotiate with the devil. I'm going to say that up front. I'm not going to negotiate with him.
Amen.
Because when you negotiate with him, you got a losing hand. Oh, man, you come on and do this, and we got it covered. The devil ain't got nothing covered but lies, darkness.
That's right.
Ain't no truth as well. I don't know if we want you to go to church. You know why I didn't want you to go to the church on, what's the name of your church, brother? I'm using this.
Word of Faith.
No, don't go to the Word of Faith on out there in Acres Home. No, you don't want to go there. Why he don't want to go there? Well, I'm going to tell you what. They're talking the wrong thing. That's how the devil talks. They're talking, they're teaching the wrong thing. See, he knows that you know, apostle, the Word of God, so he's going to stop another person to come in. And you're not trying to build the kingdom for you. You're building it for God. I'm trying to build a kingdom
for God.
I see more people behind the scene. Come on this radio. They need help. And I'm trying to get them to come and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I just surrender. When
hallelujah.
I surrender. And I said, Lord, I don't have nothing but my love for you.
That's it.
And apostle, you know what? I was in the hospital. You know, only God had his hand on me.
Yeah, he sure
did. God kept me here. I don't have nothing. I'm not crying. I'm crying because of joy to know that I can reach the unreached and tell the untold. This is a problem when you get to the people. Told somebody, so how much you charge? I said, well, I tell you, is what we do. When I was paying for the radio station, I was paying $200 just by myself. And I only had four times on it. I paid $200. And I expected, I said, if you can't spend $30 a week for 30 minutes, you can't spend $1 a minute, you can go buy some whiskey, you can go buy some wine. Hello, somebody out there. Because I might have $1,000 I want to lay in your hand. If God tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm asking you to listen to me. I pray that I've stirred you up, woke you up, shook you up, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to let you go. See, there's going to be a fight between me and the dark side, and the dark side know I'm going to win because he's sure I'm going to kill. He's told me, he said, all things are possible to those that believe. And I believe.
That's right.
Oh, I listen to that woman. Listen to that woman say, if I could but touch, the hem of his garment.
Yeah.
For 12 long years, for that man who's at the pool, she's been there for 3 years. God said, you want to walk? See, God put the question in, do you want to walk? He said, yeah. He said, take up your bed. Woo! Take up your bed and walk.
That's it. That's
hallelujah.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pick up your bed and walk.
The man,
hallelujah.
Man,
yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, my daughter's at home. My daughter's dying. But you don't have to. You don't have to come to her. Just send the word. Hallelujah. See,
send the word.
Oh, that's good. When you send the word, you
yes.
send hallelujah. Send a combination of rhema. You send a combination of agape love. You send a combination of what God can do. And when you got there, he said, no, I got men who do as I say do. And Jesus said, wow. He said, never knew that I've heard like this before. And I'm here to tell you, stop believing that you're not a Hebrew because you are a Hebrew. And the more I began to study in the book, Apostle, about what Jesus Christ had done, I began to read Hebrews chapter 1, where it says how him be a man, God, became flesh to walk among
yeah.
me.
That's what he did.
And how he gave his life that he might overcome the evil one, the devil. In addition to that, he might destroy him that had the power over and say, well, you're going to die anyway. Well, I'm just going to say like Brother Copeland says, I'm dead already, but I'm alive.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey, I've been shot at.
Amen.
I've been labeled. I've been beat up, but
Amen.
I'm still suffering. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody,
Hallelujah.
Somebody got a question, a statement, got something. Come on, tell us.
Hello,
Hallelujah.
Pastor Hunter. This is Beverly. I do apologize, sir, for earlier. I do want to say hello to everyone listening on the radio. I truly enjoyed the messages that I have heard tonight. I give God the glory because without God, I am nothing. I truly need God in my life. I pray constantly throughout the day. I pray for myself, my family. I pray for strangers. I'm amazed by the amount of people I meet daily who are angry and have broken spirits. But I take time to talk to them and ask them, you know, what's going on in their life. And you'll be amazed that people, they really want to talk and nobody's listening. And I actually sit and listen to them. And I said, you know, without God, you need God in your life. And it's like a light bulb go on. And to see somebody thirsty for God, that's who we need to be thirsty for. Not for a man or for a woman, but for God. And
Amen.
When you put God first in your life, everything falls in place. When I have not listened, when God has spoken to me, things did not turn out well, trust me. And I know how good God is because he wakes me up every morning, and I never take that for granted. God has been truly good to me. Even when
Amen.
Things are good and when things are bad, God is truly good
Amen.
To me. And I love
Amen.
You with all my heart.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I want somebody to do? For this lady that prayed, I would ask somebody to hold the radio line, listen, around the world, offer a prayer up in her behalf. Whatever God lays on your heart, whoever it is, I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody but the line. Anybody want to just come and pray for you now?
Amen. Amen.
Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we, your servants, your sons, we come before you right now in the name of a name that's above every name. And we want to thank you for the rising of the sun to the setting of it. For letting us see this day and time that you have shown us. And we walk according to faith and not by sight. Thank you for the teaching that you've heard over this radio station. You mirrored your word. Your word has come back to you, Holy Father. And tonight we say hallelujah. And to the highest praise,
hallelujah.
We praise your holy name.
Yes.
We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. We want to thank you this name. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because without you, you can do nothing. Tonight we need you to just walk in the midst of this congregation of the radio station and touch somebody right now, all of us.
Yes.
You've got the power. You can do it because I know you can. I know you can. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, he rose. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for Beverly. You gave your love. Oh, hallelujah. La, 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 la. Oh, praise the living God for whom all blessings go. Thank you. We said thank you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify your name. And there's no name above your name. Whatever the enemy comes with the lie, we know full well. We know that Yeshua HaMashiach is right there for us. And you said in your word, you said in your word in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's where we dwell. We dwell in the secret place. We dwell under your wing. And we know that you watch over us. You said in Psalms 120, you said he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. But I want to say, you said, Father, you said, I look unto the hill, what's come my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens, and the earth, Now, thank you tonight. Thank you for Beverly tonight. Let the fullness of the Holy Ghost fall upon her, upon the crown of her head to the sole of her foot, and not only her, but everybody that's listening tonight. We ask you to let your word just flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it come down. As it was said, we want to push, we want to push, want to push the faith in, Father. Somebody can be saved tonight. We cry tonight. We pray tonight. We believe. In my quiet hours on my bed, on the meditation of my heart, be accepted before you, O God. And I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the revelation of your word. I want to thank you for the outseeing of your word. I want to just praise you. You're the only true God. No God can do what you do.
No God.
When it's raining one day, the sun is shining, you're still down. And we love you for what you're doing.
We love you. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
I love you so much, Yeshua. I love you, Yeshua. It's in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. I said, thank you. Thank you for those ladies tonight. Let fire be upon us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I love you, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity out of this different body, this body of flesh, to come before you and say, Da, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to know tonight, but I always let the one who had the program tonight, Dr. Newsom, Apostle Newsom, I turn it over to you to close it out. Whatever you got to say to encourage, I want to thank God for it.
Well, glory to God. I just want to, I thank Yahweh for you, Apostle Hunter. I thank Yahweh for you and all the ministers, everyone that's prophetess, and George, everyone, Betty, and everyone that's listening around the world. I just want to thank God for you. And I just want to encourage everyone to walk by faith and not by sight. You want to please the only true living God. You want to please Yahweh. Walk by faith. Believe God's word. Speak God's word. Act on God's word. Say what you want to happen. Line your words up with the word of God. What he say, you say. And you'll please God. Walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Dr.
God bless you. I love you. And remember my words. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. God be the glory.